Well, good morning to you all. It's good to be here with you all, and I bring you greetings from the congregation at 4th Avenue. We're a little smaller group than you are, but not by so very much anymore. We welcome you to stop by and visit us if you ever come through the area, Altoona, or right in town, and you'd be welcome to stop in. I know we're a little bit out of the way. Some of you is fine. I told my wife, I think we can make this trip up here. Brother Reuben makes a trip down our way a lot. So, anyway, we thank you for the blessing you bring to Bangladesh work through allowing Reuben to help with that. We greet you in Jesus' name, the Lord of the church. That's why we gather together here. I heard some thoughts this morning. In fact, maybe it was in our prayer. Brother John just prayed about, you know, it's just another Sunday morning, right? It's another summer Sunday morning. And it is that. But this isn't just another club. You know, we're not just getting together to feel good, to sort of have a little sense of community. It is that, but it's more. It's always more when it's about the Church of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I just want us to soak in that. I appreciated the devotional thoughts this morning. Can't remember exact word the brother used, but the question was, are you in a drought? You know, are you just sort of in a standstill mode or not? It was a good question to ask. And it's the very kind of things we do. You know, I think we do come together to be challenged. Even as how that stings sometimes. Even if we're not quite sure, we wanted to feel that pain or that conviction. In the end, we know that's what we're looking for. And in the end, if we don't receive that kind of nudge and push from church life, at some point we're going to be looking somewhere else because we know in our spirit that we need it. And I don't know this morning if I can do that. I believe God can. And so I do trust that God will do what only He can do in opening up minds, stirring our hearts, all of those things, convicting us. Message I have this morning is one that I have actually prepared a number of years ago. And I like the sermon. I don't know if it's going to get delivered well or not, but I like the challenge of this particular verse. And I went to it. I will admit, I have to think a little bit about a service tonight. A sermon tonight. We're going to be wrestling with, things of this world and the kingdom of Christ and politics and what does that mean? I hope that after that service tonight, our minds will go back more to the sermon of this morning and how that should carry us forward and what that means for us and how that's going to orient our life come Monday morning. So I did think about that some. I prayed about that some, and I felt led to bring this sermon. I also recognize again and again the need for this kind of stirring in my own life. In my own life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. I'll take you to my text verse in Matthew 11. We'll start there. Good many of these verses are in red. I'm going to just look at one verse right now and then give some more opening thoughts. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, Jesus said this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Interesting verse. I've wondered about that verse. I have some thoughts this morning about that verse, and they may be just one understanding of what this verse could mean. I'll accept that right now, and I welcome your commentary and input as you think of it today. Actually, this verse came to my mind when I was teaching an instruction class, and we were just teaching the doctrine of non-resistance. And I was teaching the students, and this verse came into my mind, the violent take it by force. Now, what does it mean? You know, what's Jesus talking about violence here? And I decided then that I'm going to go study that out. Probably had something to do with the fact that I needed to have a sermon as well. But I'm going to go study that out and try to come to some understanding of this verse. And that's what I'd like to do this morning. Let's think about non-resistance for a little bit. We're a people who have been taught non-resistance. It is part of our worldview, belief system, and rightly so. Jesus very specifically said, you know, he said, if a man smite you, turn the other cheek. If you're asked to go a mile, go two. Those truths and the life that Jesus lived demonstrated that. And so we've taken that in. We believe that is a principal teaching of the kingdom of Christ. And we've taught it. We've seen our parents live it. Maybe not perfectly, but we've seen that. I can say that I've seen my father. I saw some people very angry at my father in his life. And I saw him stand there and just take it. And in the end, most of those situations ended up in long-term relationships. And so we've gotten to see that actually work. And we've actually believed that that's a good thing to do. And so it is. And it's right. And we were teaching that. And I can give it a little personal example of that. I'm sure you can give a different. I could probably give an example too, just on the drive up here. I'm not sure. But that's just the small stuff. One Saturday morning, my family and I were having breakfast, and there was some shouting that happened that was outside of our. We heard something. It was like, what's going on? Next thing you know, there was a knock on our door, and it was the two neighbor ladies that lived next door to us, right across the street from us, and they were just completely unreasonable. I have a field that lays across the road from us, the same side that their house is, and I had some duck hunters that asked me, could we come in and hunt geese? Something I've never done. I'm like, yeah, sure, that'd be fine. You go ahead and you do that. And these ladies had gotten up in the morning and looked out of their house and come to realize there's hunters in the field hunting ducks. I realized at that point that I could have done a little better just to maybe communicate. Wouldn't have been necessary, but I could have done at least that. But completely, the police are called. And so I listened to what they had to say. Okay, I'll think about it. So I sat back down at the breakfast table. And we continued to eat our breakfast. And after a few minutes, we got done. And I said, well, I better go out. I was thinking about this. I'm going to go out. I think what I'm going to do is go out and ask those men to leave. So I came out about the same time the police showed up. These ladies were come marching right out. And they began to make some large statements to the police. They were just very upset. The police officer, in the meantime, they began to also disparage him. And he got angry. And I was standing there right by his car, and he started to get wound up, and I said, you know what? I said to him, just let it go. And he's like, I don't need to leave it go. And I was like, ah, you're right. you're right. He doesn't. That's him. That's the law. You respect me. And I understand that. In the end, that was resolved. The hunters left. We're better. We have more neighborly relationships than we've ever had. And since that time, the hunters have come back. And it's okay. Both of the ladies need Christ. Perhaps that day will come. But as I thought about that, it wasn't because of, it wasn't because of the caliber of Tim Martin. It was because there's some very foundational beliefs about allowing others to run over you, if that's what they feel they need to do, to take that in, and then to try to communicate a better way. The way of Christ, the way of love, the way of peace. And again, I believe, my point is, that we have been taught that well. We have taken that into our lives. And perhaps this verse this morning that I just read to you in verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I would like us to understand, I believe one of the themes of this message is that while it is right for us to be meek, to be humble, to allow others to wrong us, it is also our duty this morning to stand up and to understand that we are pressing into a battle that requires strength, determination, conviction, and all of these other attributes. And so we're going to sort of try to sort that out as we go through this message. Violence here means to force, to crowd oneself into, to press. Let us never forget that while we rightly refrain ourselves in the face of false accusation and abuse to ourselves personally, yet here in these verses, we're being told to apply force, to go on the offensive, to take up the sword, and to cut a path straight into the kingdom of heaven. I believe that's what Jesus is teaching us. The sermon title is "The Violent Take It by Force." The context here is Jesus speaking shortly after he had given the disciples a commission. And so that's what happened in chapter 10 when he had called, verse 1, the 12 disciples. He gave power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And so the 12 Jesus sent forth in verse 5 and commanded them, saying, and he sent them out with this commission to go out, to preach, to heal, to cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and so on. And he also gave them a message to bring, and there was judgment in that message as well. And he continues on in verse 11, in chapter 11 then. We come to our text passage here. I want to read to you verses 1 through 12. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John, this is John the Baptist, had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, the two disciples said unto Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? If we could just stop for a moment. John the Baptist has ended up in prison because of what John the Baptist had to say about Herod. John the Baptist, the one who had baptized Jesus, I think it does good for us just to see the humanity of the men and women of the Bible. He sent two of his disciples. The one who said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not worthy to loosen your sandals. That one sent two of his disciples and said, go and ask him, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said, go and show John again those things which ye hear and see. the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John. As the man went, Jesus turned to the multitude and began to speak to them concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Nice dress? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he, of whom it is written, speaking of John, Jesus said, for this is he, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And he continues on with his commentary. Jesus asked the question, what did you go out to see? Jesus revealed here. Jesus revealed here that what the people went out to see was the message and the opportunity that John the Baptist was opening up for men and women to enter into the kingdom of God. There was as I understand what little I do about the culture, there was a dearth in the land. There was religious dearth. There was the elite, the religious elite. And we know what Jesus had to say. Jesus' words were quite sharp at times to the Pharisees and Sadducees. There was the religious elite that sort of sat on top of. They sat on top of the people. The taxation was heavy. The opportunities they had coming into the temple, they were many times taken advantage of. And they were incredibly poor. They were, not only did they have the religious taxation of their own religious system sitting on top of them, they had the incredible taxation of the Roman economy sitting on top of them. They were having trouble living. And here came a man with a message. And that's what Jesus is asking. What did you go out to see? He asked the people, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed shaking in the wind? Did you go out to see somebody who was dressed nicely? What did you go out to see? And what they went out to see was what they went out to hear. And that was the message of repentance. That is the message that John taught, preparing a way for the Lord. That's what the prophet said was going to happen. Jesus referenced it here. There's going to be one who went out and prepared the way. And thousands of people went out. The needy people, the poor, the people of... Yes, the Pharisees and that group went out too. But they stood and they watched. They did not press in. And it was the poor, the ones who had lost opportunity, who felt like they were outside, who pressed in. And they took the kingdom of heaven by force. I believe that's what Jesus is communicating in these verses. The religious of this elite of the day did not enter into this door because they did not see an open door. They saw themselves as the door to God and had developed much religion around what that door was to be and who it was open to this morning. Dear friends, this morning, my burden in this message is that we would be reminded and awoke to the reality that this teaching of the kingdom of God comes to earth, that came to earth through Jesus Christ. And again, John the Baptist was making a way. He was preparing a way. There is one that is going to come. That was the message, and the message of repentance. The teaching of the kingdom of God comes to earth through Jesus Christ. It is open to all, but only realized by those who will press into it. By those who will press into it. Jesus said this in Luke 16:15. Not the same story, but he references the same thought about John the Baptist. He says this, and he said unto them, Luke 16:15, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And so as you begin to wrap your mind around the violence, the force, and the pressing that Jesus speaks here, you'll see it again and again through the New Testament. And we'll like to look at that as we go along this morning. This dispensation of grace is available to all who will take it by force. And this morning, I stand up here because I'm a man who needs this reminder myself. It is so easy for us to begin to. We've got family life pressing in upon us. We have our work responsibilities, you know. And then there's always those things that can just take us down. There are those things that will distract us. Very real things. Very real things that will just put us into neutral. And this morning, these verses are calling us. We're taking up a battle. We're pressing in. There's some violence that we are being called to. I ask us this question. Are we taking the kingdom of heaven by force today? Or have we become complacent in our pursuit? Have we been softened up and just become pretty weak-kneed in our pursuit of God, of the kingdom of Christ, of what God would like to accomplish through this church, through my own life, through my interactions? I ask us this morning, are we willing to accept the conquest? I'd like to just bring this from just lofty rhetoric and try to do five practical points that I believe are areas that are close to me, close to mankind. Practical ways in which we take up this battle. 5 points where the battle takes place and some helps to be successful in this battle. I'm going to preface these 5 points by this statement. We take the kingdom of God by force when we, number one, confront the battle of the mind. This is my first point because I believe it's one of the most real areas of conquest in our lives. The battle of the mind. I don't know about your mind, but there is a lot of battle that takes place in my mind. There's a lot of things we think about. There's a lot of things. There are situations that are outside of our control. Needs that are beyond us, that really can take our minds down. They can really spin us out. And if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to launch from these five verses, first five verses of chapter 10, as we think about confronting the battle of the mind. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. We got those thoughts out of the way. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, you may have used verse 4. To help to explain our position in non-involvement in military or those kinds of things, non-involvement in politics, perhaps even you'll give that answer. Well, you'll give that explanation. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. It's not about the sword and the tank and the ideas of nation building. That's not our weapons. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're spiritual weapons. It's a spiritual battle. And I agree with all of that, 100%. But I think what we might miss sometimes is that Paul is saying here, what he is really teaching is not what we don't do, but what we do. And that there is, in fact, a very real war that we're engaged in. A very real war. A very real struggle that involves weapons. That involves action. That involves battle. The battle of the mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is a lot. That verse seems a lot to me. There are so many ways. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. There are so many ways that we can become lifted up. So many ways that we can become lifted up. Lifted up by the things of this world. Things that will not endure eternally. And this just happens. I'll look to you first of all, men. Maybe I'll get to you ladies just a little bit. But, you know, it's so natural for us to continually sort of check where we're at in our community. It might be in this community here. It might be in your church community here. It might be in business community at large around Clare. It looks like a pretty progressive place to me. A lot happening. And so we measure and we check. And we put those notches in. And it's so easy. And some of it's just natural. And some of it is even healthy. I'm not trying to destroy it all. I'm just saying. There are ways in which we begin to feel like it's defining who we are as a person and as a man and all of those things. And we need to be very careful. Casting down every high thing. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And we begin to think, it really is. I'm good. I am good. I mean, I turned that situation into some serious cash. And then you realize, well, was everything as ethical as it should have been? Number two, how much just pure blessing of God is there in what I have received? And number three, look at the stability. As much as is shaky about the world we live in, look at the stability we have. Now, if that isn't a big leg up, and then we look at our own upbringing and all of that we've received from our parents and those kinds of things. Those are blessings of God. And so this morning, we do need to battle. We do need to battle in our minds over those kinds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. We should never look to fail. We should always endeavor to be successful in what we do. But when we accomplish it, how do we view ourselves? Casting down imaginations. How about the battle of the mind when things get tough at work? When things get tough at home? Or in church life? And so, we begin to use that as an excuse. Enough of that church business. I mean, we've got so many problems over there. And we just pour ourselves, or things aren't too well at home. Things aren't peaceful there like they should be. And so rather than taking up that battle, we pour ourselves in over here and turn our business into something to be admired. And we're not willing to take up the battle, the heavy work that needs to be done. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. Or we may give ourselves to lust. I've been let down here. And so, we somehow believe. Our mind starts to do this thing where it justifies and opens up a slot over here for us to go out into excess. battle of the mind. So much begins and ends. Mind and heart, I can't separate the two. Flip them around if you will. But so much happens there. Confront the battle of the mind, sisters. You may. I see lots of children here. It's wonderful. Reminds me of Fourth Avenue. We have more children, many more children, I think, than adults around the place. And it's a full house. Even a little noisier than yours sometimes. So. There's so many things to do. Talking about the battle of the mind. You get full. Life is full. The pressures that are on you. And so it's so easy for us to lose ourselves in our responsibilities and give place to a hard heart. Just a busy heart. One that just doesn't really have time to be softened up by God, by what God's doing, by the needs of other sisters, other church members, other children, or husbands, whatever it might be. So many ways in which our minds can take us. We're being called to cast down imaginations. We may become busybodies. And we may just see things that aren't. You know, why does that one sister never wave to me at school? Whatever. Those kinds of things so easy that we can begin to build imaginations in our minds. And these verses are reminding us that there is a battle. And the picture of this message, the larger theme of this message, is that we are in a battle. And we can expect to need to battle harshly, some violence and some pressing in our own minds over thinking, casting down imaginations, thinking on those things that are true. And I might get to that in just a moment. Our mind and our hearts is where the battle begins and ends. We need to be willing to bring our minds into subjection. Our thoughts, this verse 5 says, to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That is such a big statement to me. Bringing our thoughts. Every thought, this verse says, to the obedience of Christ. That is huge. And so there it is. And that's a battle. I don't know what else to say, but that is a battle. And it is one that we are being called to this morning. What would Jesus have to do? How are we to think? What is the obedience of Christ that we're to enter into? Well, here's another. And perhaps I have more thoughts under this battle of mine. The other points will be a little shorter. Continuing on with this battle of mine, doubt and fear are some of the greatest enemies. Some of our enemy's greatest tools, doubts and fears. I came across this little acronym, and you know, sayings are worth what they're worth. I can't say that this, but here's one for you. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And it is so easy for us to begin to put together a series of thoughts that bring about fear and doubt in our minds, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Fear and doubt. And so it is easy for us to get caught in this thing. I know what that's like. And you think, oh, well, these, you know, doubts and fears are something that preachers struggle with. There's a great commonality on this. I think you know and understand that. Does the situation that's in front of you, medical situation, a child, a youth, finances, cause you to become fearful and unbelieving? Do they? Another little statement. Either your faith is removing a mountain or your fear is creating one. Certainly, we cannot ignore problems, but problems can overtake us and we lose the obedience of Christ over those thoughts. The surrender to God, faith in God, trusting in God, calling upon God, all of those things, it's necessary for us to bring our thoughts into obedience of Christ. The battle of the mind, Philippians 4, verse 8, it's one of those go-to verses, isn't it? But could you just soak in it just for a little bit? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what? What? Think on these things. Think on these things. And so there it is, the battle of the mind. There's the answer. And so we say, well, I want to be a realist. Yes. I know we have to think about, we have to reckon with the negative things. We have to acknowledge things that are untrue, perhaps. But this scripture is clear. It's calling us to think about things that are true and honest and lovely and just and pure and of good report. And so I do challenge you. Would you? There's a lot of things that run through our minds in the daytime. And I'm thankful there isn't like a screen right here above my head. It's just like scrolling with the thoughts of my mind. Are you thankful for that as well? But at the end of the day, what we're thinking about does shape us. And it does give us, in other words, we can't really hide it all that well anyway. And so may God help us to think about, to allow this verse to arrest our thinking. There's so many ways. Again, at one time, we think about ourselves, too much of ourselves. At other times, we're berating ourselves for something we did. So much of what happens in our mind, especially when it skews off to the side, is because of pride. How we view ourselves. How do others view us? And so many times the what-ifs of our lives. What if I'd have done this? What if I'd have done that? Aren't so much about controlling the situation as they are about controlling what others think about us. And so there's a battle of the mind. One more quick thought here. Be convinced of who we are in the kingdom of Christ. More than conquerors. Jesus, the Bible tells us. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against it? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famines or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:31 through 37, more than conquerors. I think we do well, brothers and sisters, in this battle of the mind, to lay hold on these kinds of verses. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That will give us, that is one of those tolls in the toll box of giving us the courage to face whatever it is that we're battling. Number two, we take the kingdom of God by force when we withstand the flesh. We won't turn there. Colossians 3, 1 through 5 starts out with this, if ye then be risen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. It uses the words like mortify, kill those desires of the flesh and of the mind. And so I ask us this morning, have you are we entering into the kingdom with violence? See, this helps us to understand, you know, those places where Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. The violence in that, that strong statement, if your hand offends you, cut it off. How are we to understand it? We understand it in this violence and pressing that Jesus is teaching us here. And the willingness to press in, to understand that we're going to need to make some choices and we're going to need to take up, and it's going to be a battle. And so we do that. We mortify, we kill, we cut off. If ye then be risen, we desire to be risen, we rise up. Do we really desire the freedom of Christ? That's a question for the mind and the heart. And I ask this question, do we know what it's like to be free? Withstand the flesh. How much do we hate the bondage of sin and the smudge of failure? How much do we hate it? And while I know that we walk in the flesh, and we're talking about doing battle, very real, present day, every day. That's right. But are we free from the bondage of sin? And there is something about that bondage, that stronghold, that must be broken. So may God help us. The violent take it by force. We understand Jesus' teaching a little better. If I offend thee, cut it off. Thinking about withstanding the flesh, I'll ask you this morning, moving on in this thought of withstanding the flesh, are we ready to serve? Are we ready to serve? When's the last time you served someone outside of where you were likely to receive? Some of you sisters, I'm sure have worked hard on some delicious food out here. But you know what? You knew there was another sister who was doing the same. Maybe some of you men were grilling this morning to bring along some meat. I don't know that. But you also knew there was going to be other food and that we were all going to sit down. I'm asking, when's the last time that we have served someone outside of where we're going to receive from them? It doesn't happen quite as often as we think. Maybe it does here in Clare, Michigan. I don't know. That is something to think about. We pass the offering basket. Oh, we gave, but we received so much. It's cool in here. Electric bills paid, air conditioner's working. Just broke the bank giving to that school offering. Oh, but we received so much. A good education for our children. Wonderful things. I'm not putting them down. I'm just asking us, how far beyond? Withstand the flesh. I'm saying there is a battle in giving beyond where we know we're going to receive. There's a battle in giving where we know we're going to look like a fool. There's a battle in giving, you know, where people... Yeah, we might help someone out who's not respected in the community. Are we okay with that? And so there it is. There's a battle there. Let's continue on to number three. We take the kingdom of God by force when we stand strong in the face of pressure. Ephesians 6:13 says this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand," Scripture tells us, "stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness." I've read those verses many, many times. I could quote those verses. But as I was thinking about this from this perspective of violence and force and pressing into, as I was reading these verses, it really stood out to me. "And having done all to stand, stand therefore," standing strong in the face of pressure. And this morning we're called to that. There is a violence about standing therefore, of not being moved. And the pressure to draw back is real. The pressure to acquiesce. And there is times, you know, we don't need to be bullheaded. There is reason. There's reason to change our mind sometimes. But so many times, it's so easy for us to just kick it into neutral and coast on over. To have felt strongly about one thing at one time and then just decided, well, I don't know, it's just not worth it. And just sort of back off. As I was preparing this message, and I'll admit to you, it was prepared 4 or 5 years ago, originally. That Saturday, we decided to get in some Chinese food, Chinese takeout. And I was sitting at the table, and I, you know, little wafers. I enjoy breaking them open and see what it says inside. You understand that? Little slip of paper. Broke mine open, and here's what it was. And I'm, if you're okay, I'm going to read a Chinese proverb to y'all. If you wish to be a light, you need to be okay with the burning. If you wish to be a light, you need to be okay with the burning. And that was true. That was truth. It is truth. And there is a certain burning that comes with standing. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. There is some violence, some pressing that must go in to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to stand there for. Just the way it is. Are you okay with the burning of business loss because we refuse to use the law to collect what is rightfully ours? You all right with it? Good. Are you okay with the burning? Are we okay with standing against the drift of accommodation? You know, just change. Accommodation, just giving up on good tradition and culture that has value in it. May God help us with that. The pressure to give in, dads and moms, are you okay with standing? No, son, you're not going to get that phone yet. No, I'm not going to lift those restrictions yet. Young people, are you okay with standing? Standing against ungodly music? Standing against mocking someone? Standing against the dirty jokes that so easily get passed around? Just off-color stuff. Oh, it's not real, real bad stuff. Just off-color stuff. You know, it was interesting. As we've grown up now in this digital age or whatever it is, communicated age, communication that doesn't seem to stop. One thing became clear to me, you know, us young guys, as young men, something natural about us that we love to play some jokes and just do those kinds of things. And, you know, it used to be that you'd get together with 4 or 5 of your friends for a weekend, you'd be doing something, and it was the kind of place where some foolishness could happen. It can happen. But what is impressed me negatively is that technology and groups allow that to never really end. You know, it just sort of goes on and on and on. You know, it's one thing if the foolishness happened one weekend and you all went away from it and you thought better about it. It's like, oh, well. But that group was never together again. Or you know, some of those dynamics just weren't there. And yet today, so much has changed, and may God help us. And so I'm asking us young people, are we willing to stand? That joke can stop with you. Or you can even go further than that and request that it doesn't come to you. I ask us as a church, are we okay with standing for truth, with truth? Standing, are we okay with standing with each other, with each other? There's enough of people here. There's enough of people in this building to get some good old-fashioned, you know, stirrings going. Yeah, well, I don't agree with him, that's for sure. I know that you're just as natural as any of the rest of us. But are we okay with standing together? Is that our choice? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to stand together. We're thinking about, and having done all to stand. Stand strong in the face of pressure. Paul tells Timothy this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Again and again, the teaching of Paul of running the race, of fighting the battle, of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, helps us to understand Jesus' words of violence and force and pressing. I believe it helps me to understand that. Number four, understand the cause. I will abbreviate these last two points. We take the kingdom of God by force when we understand the cause. We shouldn't abbreviate it, but we must. Understand the cause. Ephesians 3 talks to us about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those are familiar verses. I'm not going to turn to it, but understand the cause. We take the kingdom of God by force when we understand the cause. We haven't come together just to feel good, to see each other in Sunday best dress this morning. We've come together to be refreshed and renewed in the cause of Jesus Christ. What was the message? What was the message? That the people were going to the wilderness. They weren't going to see a man who spoke so well, you know, who had his thoughts all organized just right. But they went and heard a message of repentance and preparation for that which was to come. And this morning, we continue that message forward. A message of repentance and entrance into. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And he said there that as great as he was, he that is, what did he say? He talked about the last verse I read there in chapter 11. There is not among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I believe that's still talking about us today. As great as John the Baptist was, this morning, our place in the kingdom of heaven is greater than his. The message that we carry is more complete than John the Baptist, because the testator has died. The New Testament, this kingdom has been brought in to full fruition in our lives today. What is the cause? What are we pressing into? What is the high calling of Jesus Christ? Paul talked about being a prisoner. Yes, a slave, and God is still looking for those. A good soldier. What's our cause? We must understand that we must be a partaker of the fruits if we wish to share them. First, a partaker, 2 Timothy 2:6 says. Husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits Paul had received personally and within himself, the message and mystery of God that he speaks about in Ephesians 3. And so this morning, if we're going to go forward in violence, if we're going to press into this kingdom, and we're going to carry forward this message, we must be partakers of the fruit. It must be in our own hearts. We must understand. We must also have a compassion for those who are outside the kingdom of Christ. A softness in our heart. I know that we see a lot in our society today. You'll see things that make you sick. You'll see things that, as men, you know, sort of comes and gets us. But there must be a compassion in our hearts that brings those thoughts into the obedience of Christ. Compassion, I think, is a key, because so many, I can think of a couple instances myself this past week that compassion, I felt and I hurt for what I saw, and I wondered, how do you reach that? To make all men know the plan of God through Jesus Christ. We must understand that our work is to bring glory to God here on earth to those who look on, and yes, even by the church, to show forth the plan of God to our society today. And so this morning, there is a great call upon us. What does this community know about this assembly? What does the community know about this assembly? And I say, shame on us. if they know of this church because we can't get along. Shame on us. I don't know if that's the case with you all. I'm just saying it's happened. They may know us as Mennonites. I'm okay with that. But I hope they also understand that we are disciples of Christ, followers of Jesus Christ. I bumped into a man this week. He was off on the side of the road, out of gas. It was an opportunity. It was an opportunity, a unique opportunity. Very interesting man. Pray for Kendall. Married to one woman, 5 children. They were all with him. I had to ask him some questions because he didn't fit the mold. I said, why? And we had an interesting conversation there, waiting for my son to come back with gas. I really do hope and pray that we can interact some more. My friends, this morning there must be a passion for the causes of the kingdom. One man, I think it might have been Adam Clark's commentary. I didn't note it, so I apologize for that. The violent take it by force. These are not lazy wishes or cold endeavors that will bring men to heaven. Lazy wishes and cold endeavors aren't going to bring men to heaven. There is some heat and some passion and some force that enters into this, some pressing. Again, helps us to understand some of those words that Paul penned, the Spirit of God speaking through Paul, Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I what? I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. The violent take the kingdom of heaven by force when we are convinced of the end we want. It would do us well to read Matthew 25 once again and to see the reality of the judgment scene, the separation that happens. The kingdom of God take it by force when we are convinced of the end that we want. And we want that end with Christ and our Savior, with Jesus Christ, our Savior. I believe I'm going to close with that. I could add some few comments to that, but our time is up. May God help us. Joshua, there as the children of Israel were getting ready to move forward, I believe it was without his leadership. He said to them, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage. May God help us. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do come here before you now on bended knee. You are the great God of heaven and earth, superintendent of all things. And so, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word, O God. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And O God, I pray that we have represented the truth of the gospel and the truth of your word this morning. And most of all, again, Lord, I do pray that you'd help us in these areas of temptation and battle that are so real to us. I pray that we could be centered on you, focused on you. And I pray that you would help us to go from here and to be stirred up in our spirit and our mind and be willing to do the hard things. So many times that starts with crucifying the flesh, whatever that might be. But I pray that you would help us to be empowered by your spirit, convinced by your word, and help us to go forward and carry this message. The message that John began there in the wilderness. God, we just ask for your blessing and direction. We do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.